of this workshop is leadership and accountability. And for our first speaker is Linda C. from the Bay Area. Let's give her a hand.
My name's Linda and I'm an addict. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the convention. I'm glad to be here. I hope everybody else is. I will say thank you so much for having me. I'll start with that. It's nice to be welcomed anywhere today. I will also say that it's been, I know, at least 15 years since I've been to this convention, because I have a 14-year-old and I've not been down here since I've had children. So it's nice to be back. I'll also say that, you know, I'm not one of these kind of self-promoters who sends a CD around and all that kind of, hey, pick me. So I'm not quite sure how I ended up here, but I just, you know, live my life. I'm a member. I have a home group. I have a service position. I have a sponsor. I write the steps. I'm of service. I pray, you know, and I try to lead by example in that area. And I kind of, the people that actually, you know, want to send their stuff everywhere scare me. You know, like I don't know where all that ego and pride needs to be shared. So anyway, that's not what the topic's about, but I'm just kind of starting somewhere, right? That was effective leadership, Steve says. So anyway, we call this topic leadership and what was it?
Accountability.
And accountability. But I was told it's for the first six concepts. So I assume that the people that are in this room, you know, have some interest in the service structure and the way in which Narcotics Anonymous works, because that's really the crux of where the concepts come from. I will share a little tidbit of information about CPR, CNA in general. I'm from Annapolis, Maryland, so I'm not really part of the Chesapeake and Potomac region. But originally, when I got clean, there was no Free State region, and Annapolis, where I live, was part of CPR, CNA. And our area, the Bay Area, decided in 1984 that we wanted to have a convention. And so my friend found another friend, and they started going around to hotels in Annapolis to kind of figure out, you know, what that would involve. And we decided we're just going to have this area convention, and it was going to be, you know, the Bay Area's blah, blah, blah. But we realized it was a lot more work than the 30 people that were clean in Annapolis at that time. So we came to the Chesapeake and Potomac, you know, Regional Service Committee, because we were an area of the region, and we said, we're going to have a convention and we'd like to call it yours. So that's really how the first CPR CNA came about, and it was hosted in Annapolis, Maryland in 1986, right? So anyway, more will be revealed. That was our topic. So that's a little tidbit for those of you who weren't aware of that. Now we're from a different region, and things happen, and Narcotics Anonymous grows, and we write concepts, because back at that point in time, there were 12 steps, and there were 12 traditions, but there weren't 12 concepts. And the 12 steps, you know, there's this little, is this pink? There's this little pink booklet, for those of you who aren't aware, that has the 12 concepts and a description, just like we have of the steps and the traditions in the basic text, and it works how and why. But this one is just for the concepts. It has its little home all by itself. And the 12 concepts can also be found in a guide to service, if you look for it someplace else.
And in the merchandise room.
And in the merchandise room, as Steve says, once he puts this pile back, right? And so if you need to make reference, you know, we have the steps in the basic text, and we have the traditions in the basic text, and we have a book for them combined, but we don't really have a book for the concepts. But this is where you would find them if you're interested in getting some information to read after this wonderful meeting. So the first concept, this is where I will need glasses, reads, to fulfill our fellowship's primary purpose, The NA groups have joined together to create a structure which develops, coordinates, and maintains services on behalf of NA as a whole. And, you know, when I was brand new, the step sounded like a lot of gobbledygook. I didn't really understand it. I knew I had a drug problem, and I wanted it to, you know, stop being a problem, but I didn't really understand what the steps were all about. And the concepts sound very much the same way, even if you've been here for a long time and haven't been exposed to them. But basically, to me, that reads that the group's primary purpose is to carry the message, correct? You know, we have a message that an addict, any addict can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. That's our primary purpose. And so any group in the region or in the world, when you go to it, ultimately it's a bunch of addicts sitting around in a church basement or something of that nature, and they're sharing about, you know, having used, you know, having lost the desire to stop using, and having, you know, their life changed. And so that's what we try to focus on at every meeting that we go to. But for Narcotics Anonymous to grow the way that it has, what has had to have happened is that we've got this service structure in place that takes care of all of our other services. And before the first page in a guide to service, there's this little table like this. You know, the table of contents lists a lot of very interesting things, but this in and of itself describes our service structure and how everything is set up. So if you don't really understand that either, that's a great reference point. Right before the introduction in A Guide to Service, that's where you'll find this. So anyway, what it talks about is that we have all these groups that provide a primary purpose, and that a member in each group is designated to go on to another level of service to participate in our service structure, and we all know that as area service. And then there's a number of area services that are part of regions. We all know that as the RSC, the Regional Service Committee. And there's a representative from our area that goes to that. And then all of our regions participate in the World Service Conference every 2 years in California. So that's basically the crux of the levels of service: the World Service Conference, the Regional Service Committee, the Area Service Committee, and then the group. And then at every Area Service Committee, there's a number of subcommittees, right? Where the real meat and potatoes of Narcotics Anonymous is, above and beyond carrying our message. You know, we have special events at some area services, and we have H&I, where we take meetings into hospitals and institutions, and we have public information or public relations, whatever you choose to call it at your area, and that's where we put information pamphlets out to the public and maybe have some speaking engagements and things of that nature. And we have the literature committee. You know, our literature is written by addicts, for addicts, about addicts. So we go through literature review processes in this fellowship, and we have to distribute the literature. Some places distribute it at area service, other places distribute it through a service center, other groups purchase it straight from the World Service Office. Whatever manner the group chooses to get their literature, they have a committee to do so. And so there's these various subcommittees that are found within area service. And that's where everybody who chooses to be involved at any other level, when they first get clean and want to give back to this fellowship, begins to get involved beyond the group itself.
I'm just coming over to give you a big old kiss.
Steve and I go way back. So I was parched, I apologize. So anyway, I talked about those little subcommittees that we have at area service, and there's also subcommittees at regional service, but they don't actually apply the service. You know, it's not where the meat and potatoes takes place. It's more of an information gathering mode where all of the chair people from area level come and kind of share what works for them, what doesn't work for them, how things have been going, and things of that nature. So, that's really all I wanted to cover about the first concept, is that the essence of our service structure, and that all of those services that we provide have to be done external to the group, that if each group had to do that on their own, we wouldn't have time to carry the message. So we had to, as a fellowship, to allow ourselves to grow and not have duplication of services and things like that, create this service structure to fulfill the primary purpose. Okay, so that's the first concept to me. The second concept reads, the final responsibility and authority for NA services rests with the NA groups. And a very important word in that concept to me is the final responsibility. It's the ultimate responsibility. It's the last responsibility. And so basically what this speaks to me is that we have created this service structure in concept one that we just talked about, and so now we have to kind of figure out where the responsibilities will lie and where the authority will lie. And so ultimately, the second concept ensures us as members that, well, they can't change the name of our fellowship without our final authority, without us saying as members in the fellowship that we'd like it to be called something different. I mean, that's really kind of an outlandish example. But, you know, they can't maybe take out a step, you know, and make it 11 steps or change something profound in our fellowship as it exists, in our service structure, without coming to the groups and saying, we'd like to do this, would that be okay? And currently, the form that we use to communicate back and forth for final authority for the groups is our conference agenda report. And this is a perfect time for the convention because, you know, everybody's got their little CAR report. That's what we call it, the CAR report. And remember when you were brand new, you were like, what are they talking about? What is that? And basically, it's just a little booklet that comes out every 2 years. We used to do it every year, and we found out that it was a little involved, and so we've stretched it a bit. Plus, it's a little expensive to get all those people out there to California and all that. So we've kind of grown as a fellowship and realized that we can deal with things once every 2 years instead of once every year. And so this report is sent out, and things of extreme value that the structure feels are important are addressed in that conference agenda report for the groups to address. And that's ultimately what the second concept means to me, that the final authority lies with the groups, but it's the final authority and responsibility. Because the third concept says the NA groups delegate to the service structure the authority necessary to fulfill the responsibilities assigned to it. So what that means is that ultimately the final responsibility lies with the group when we want to change the name of our fellowship, but that we delegate all that other responsibility and authority to the service structure that we've created. And therefore, you know, when you're in your home group and you have your election times, you have your business meeting, and you discuss, you know, who you'd like to be the secretary and who you'd like to be the GSR and so on and so forth, you are giving the responsibility and the authority to your representative to go to area service and to take care of business for you. So that once again, the first concept says, we can fulfill the primary purpose within the group as members, to simply carry the message and not spend every meeting talking about, you know, some type of service, you know, changing the policy for the such and such committee and the budget for the blah, you know, okay? So the NA groups delegate to our structure that authority and then provide them with the responsibility to then fulfill those tasks. And those two things need to be hand in hand, that we can't give somebody the responsibility to do a job for us, but then not the authority to fulfill it, or vice versa. So there's a very delicate balance or harmony, I'd like to say, between those two things. And oftentimes when that gets tilted, things can get very personality driven at our business meetings, whether it's in our group business meeting or our area business meeting, because somebody didn't do something the way we expected they should. And those lines of responsibility and authority were not clear to someone, or someone disagreed with the responsibility and authority that was given to somebody, and this will go on forever. So that was the third concept as Linda sees it. And the fourth concept says, effective leadership is highly valued in Narcotics Anonymous. Leadership qualities should be carefully considered when selecting trusted servants. Now, how many times, let's just chat about that. How many times have we been at our home group, or area service, or even the regional service, and just put in the warm body that's right there because they haven't even demonstrated willingness, but they're there. And we assume they're clean because they're there. We're not sure necessarily, but we assume it because they're in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting or service structure meeting. And so we, oh, you can do it. Now, this used to happen back in the day a lot more than I see it happening today because we have 12 concepts and we have some experience. But, you know, it was like people were forced into responsibilities that they otherwise might not be comfortable with. And then 6 months down the road or 1 month down the road, you know, they are attacked for their poor service record, you know, without being given the authority and responsibility and guidance to actually perform their tasks at hand, right? You know, how many times have we done that? So it's really important that we take time to really ask people questions when they want to do a job, you know, and that we clearly define what that responsibility is to them, you know, and we have all of this literature and all of this service guides and handbooks, and rarely do we even make reference to it when we're ready to, you know, have a election take place at area service, regional service, et cetera. You know, we just go, oh, you know what you do as the GSR? You pick up the literature at area service. How many times have we heard that, right? And so this poor soul trounces off to area service and says, I'm here to pick up the literature, you know, and then is ultimately quite shocked, you know, when they realize that there's a little bit more involved. So that's what this concept speaks to. It speaks to the issue that, you know, when we put people in leadership positions, and we do have leaders, you know, oftentimes you'll hear people misspeak and say, we have no leaders. And that's not what our literature says. It says very clearly that our leaders are but trusted servants. So we very clearly do have leaders. We have people that choose through their gratitude to give back to this fellowship in many, many ways. And we are so grateful for them. But to be able to lead, people need to be informed as to what their responsibilities are. And that's what this concept speaks to, is really be clear with the people that we elect, what we expect of them, and state the responsibilities. You know, ask questions. Sometimes we feel uncomfortable in a service committee asking those questions as if we don't approve of the person, or people might not think that we would be in favor of that person, and really that's not the issue. To be responsible in the election process, I need to know something about that person. And the only way to learn about somebody is to ask some questions and to make myself informed. You know, I'd like to know in my home group that the person that's going to be the treasurer, you know, can count, is clean, you know, has a job, things of that nature. No, various things. I want to know that my secretary in my home group is very clear about the types of speakers that I expect to hear in my home group. I want to know that. I want to be very clear about that. I also feel very strongly that my home group is an hour and a half. I want my secretary to know very clearly that he is to wrap up the meeting at 9:20. So that after the key tags and after all of the gobbledygook at the end of the meeting takes place, we close the meeting at 9:30 with the prayer. That we don't call for the burning desire at 9:31. Okay, and then get out at quarter of 10 or 10, you know, that we like to have a service structure. Structure is important. And so those are some things that are, you know, basic, simple things that are important to me. And I can't sit in my home group catching a resentment because the meeting's running over when the secretary who's newly elected and has 6 months clean hasn't been informed, you know, here you can read from this sheet and, you know, please get speakers in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and please make sure they're clean, you know, and various little, you know, rules to live by. So there's our fourth concept, once again, as Linda sees it. Fifth concept, for each responsibility assigned to the service structure, a single point of decision and accountability should be clearly defined. Sounds like a business, doesn't it? Who's in charge of who? Who's whose boss, right? And basically that is what it's talking about. The fifth concept to me means that if our GSR is elected by our group, that he is accountable to our group, that we are the ones that elected him. Ultimately, the final point of accountability is at the group, and that the GSR has a very delicate responsibility because they also are looking out for the larger service structure. They go to area service and can no longer be concerned solely for some are sicker than others in Severna Park, Maryland at 8 o'clock on Wednesday nights. That's a pitch, okay? You know, figure throw it in there. We got all the 12 people. So, you know, come on down. But our GSR has to think about how financial decisions affect the entire area. The policy decisions affect the entire area or maybe even the region or other levels of service. And they take into consideration subcommittees and things of that nature. But ultimately, the GSR's performance is his single point of responsibility comes to the group. And when we have a business meeting in our little home group, which is few and far between, that's another beauty of our fellowship, that our group can choose not to be involved. And we basically say, let us know if you need us to, you know, deal with some. Otherwise, you know, whatever. We'll have another business meeting in 6 months to do our elections. That's our right as our group to really not be involved. And we trust that when the GSR says they'd like to change the name of Narcotics Anonymous, you know, that maybe we'd like to be involved then. But until there's some major point of chaos going on, we don't choose to be all that involved. And other groups have their right to be keenly involved in that process. It's just, you know, each group, you know, has their own personality. I got off the topic. So I'm back to the topic. So ultimately, for the responsibility that we assign to the GSR, the ASR, oh, it's not an ASR. I've been saying ASR the whole meeting, haven't I?
RCM.
RD, excuse me. Old habits die hard, that ultimately there's one single point of accountability, that the GSR cannot be responsible to area service and the group at the same time. There needs to be one single point of decision for clarity purposes. Okay, now to the sixth concept, and the final concept that we're dealing with is group conscience is the spiritual means by which we invite a loving God to influence our decisions. The first sentence I will read, conscience is an essentially spiritual faculty. It is our innate sense of right and wrong. And then down through the third paragraph, it also says, the exercise of group conscience is the act by which our members bring the spiritual awakening of our 12 steps directly to bear in resolving issues affecting NA. So this is a really great concept. This is really meat and potatoes. We deal with this all the time, and all of them are grand and wonderful, but I really like this one because we have evolved so much as a fellowship in being able to embrace this concept. And when I got clean, we said things like, I got to call a group conscience after the meeting, and really that's not what we do. We have a business meeting. But we called a group conscience, and basically what that meant was we got to vote on something, right? We got to vote. We got an issue, and we got to vote. We got to get a new coffee maker, or someone ran away with the treasury. We need to have a new treasury. We need to vote. And we have kind of grown and transformed as a fellowship, just like the steps have done for me, to begin to embrace the idea that we can sit in a group. I just had like the conference agenda report meeting at my house for my little group, and we all sat around the table. Josh was there, and we discussed, you know, the first motion, and after the discussion, as people talked, it was clear the essence or the feeling of how the group felt. And that's, to me, what we speak of when we talk about the conscience, a group's conscience, that we're saying, oh, we really don't even need to vote on that, because we can feel in the room how we feel about it. We are either strongly confused, you know, oftentimes, you know, what are they talking about? Or, you know, we think, oh, that's crazy, strongly opposed, or what a grand idea, you know? And sometimes what has happened at area service and regional service and even at world service, we've seen this, is that, you know, there's discussion and there's viewpoints that are shared and all different things happening, and there really isn't the clear conscience is that we don't really have a clear conscience, if that makes any sense, that we're split, that some people feel strongly that this should be done, and some people feel strongly that this shouldn't be done, and sometimes it's best to do nothing. Maybe we should research a little more. Maybe we should wait a month. Maybe we should, you know, let's talk about how to resolve this without saying what has happened historically in my experience in the fellowship is we won, it was 6-5. That's it. It's going to go our way, you know, because 6 people said they wanted to do it and 5 said they didn't. So us 6, we're right. And we've grown up and we've learned that while 6 might be a majority, it's not a real clear conscience. And we would like, as a fellowship, what this means in this concept is that we would like, as a fellowship, to talk about it long enough that we have a conscience strongly in favor with very little opposition. That's what we would like to do in Narcotics Anonymous, in the service structure. So that's my experience with the 6 concepts, the first 6. There are 6 more, but this meeting doesn't discuss it, and I would like to be able to tell you what meeting to go to hear 7-12, but I am remiss, not clear. So just, you know, find somebody who looks more intelligent than me and figure it out, you know? Anyway, thanks for letting me share. It's great to have been asked, and I will turn it over to Steve or Kenneth or whomever. Thank you.
For our next speaker is Steve M. Let's give him a hand.
We have a really nice way of closing. I'm an addict. My name's Steve. I thought Linda did an admirable job, and I do these a lot because I really believe in the steps, traditions, and the concepts. And I really wish I had more. They do have them in the merchandise room if you want to get one. And it amazes me when this many people come, especially on Friday at 1:30. I would suppose that most of you either don't have jobs and are filthy rich, because we should be working now. We all should be. I had to leave work to get here. And the people that are really involved in service are usually people that are responsible and are working, and, you know, they wouldn't be here. And then I expect that maybe they had this at this time because all of them understand all this and they don't need it. But right now is a really, really strange time in our fellowship. There's a lot of things going on that we hear all different sides to, you know. And the first thing I always like to say is that just like society itself, about 10% of the fellowship does 90% of the work, and we have to remember that. But if you understand that, remembering that's one thing. But if you understand that, then it gives you maybe the impetus to find out what the steps mean and traditions mean and the concepts mean. Because the reality is 90% of the people that come to the rooms don't come here for this. They're not here. They're not coming. They don't want to know about a business. They don't want to know how it runs. They don't want to know how the coffee got on the table. They don't care. They have no, you know, and the ultimate reality is not one of us, and of course this is me up here, so it's as Steve sees it for a half hour, not one of us came in here wanting what we get from this program. We all came in here fighting, scratching, whatever. We didn't want to come here. I always like, as a way of explanation, I feel that every one of us fit the category we came in here because of our mother, father, sister, brother, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, boss, lawyer, judge, or PO. One of those people's on your back. You came here to get rid of them. And when you came in a room and looked around, just like if you look around this room, you go, oh my God, look at these people. How long do I have to be here? I'm nothing like this, you know? And if you sit here for a while and you listen, it's a wondrous thing when all of a sudden one day it appears to you that, oh God, I belong here. You know? And then the thing is that if you feel 1 out of 10 people even get involved, and what Linda was talking about went right in the beginning when we elect people to be GSRs to go pick up the literature, what a travesty that is to everybody in that room when we do it. And we've all done it. We've all done it at times. And you know, it's real easy for Linda now to say how good her group runs and how good my group runs. My group is a step in tradition meeting. And I tell people every week at my meeting, when I see a whole bunch of people come, we have like 8 or 10 home group members, I would be perfectly happy with 10 people at the meeting every week because it's step in tradition. I don't want to hear what happened at your work. I don't want to hear what happened. This is a step in tradition. And the thing, so I do that, and I chase people away from my home group and tell them there's 5 other meetings you can go to on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. You don't have to come here. You know? We're doing a step in tradition. You know what I mean? And the thing is, but it's because I want what the program gives me today. And I believe it's really difficult for us to do these things that the concepts tell us. They're really easy written down, and they're really good explained. But the thing is we fight them. We fight them every way, which way we fight them. And the bottom line is to fulfill our fellowship's primary purpose, and that's it. That's the only job that should be done in your group. The only job should be to help the newcomer, to get the message of recovery. That's it. And the stuff that goes on at our meetings is sad today. It's sad. And it's sad even at my own meetings. Sometimes it just gets out of hand. And, we could go into stories and spend hours talking about the things that go on in meetings. You know, there's a guy in our area that likes to say, we like to go to step and tradition meetings for education, and we like to go to meetings for entertainment. And the thing is it's really hard to find that. But it's because 10% of the people are about the program. 90% aren't. And we have to remember that right in the beginning. And so that's why, I believe that's why there's two ways. I believe the reason the 12 concepts were written is because we need some guidance going on, because we're losing control in our whole fellowship. The other meeting is because AA had 12 concepts, so we needed them too. Take one or the other, you know. Isn't it amazing how just we only needed 12? They had to be 12. Couldn't be 11, couldn't be 13, had to be 12. So, and I did a history meeting a few years ago where there was 25 speakers. And I say this because it'll make a point of this. And they did the speakers in order of their clean time. And I was the 24th speaker. And I had like 22 years. And I was listening to all these people and listened to them. And what we did, we all had 2 hours to explain how NA was developed, where we came from. And, you know, I heard some incredible stories and everything, except as it closer got to me, I realized that NA was developed and started everywhere the exact same way. You had a handful of real assholes that were, you know, that were die hard, this was going to work, you know, and that's how it was in our area. When you started, we used to go get people that didn't show up, and you know what I mean, and you know, we did that, and when I look back and for 3 years, we had a group of people that went 2.5 hours from Annapolis, where we are, to go to the Hagerstown prison on Friday night. 3 years we did it every Friday. That's insane. But we did it. We did it. You know, we had this group. We had about 25 people that we, five to 10 of us had to go every week. We had 25 or 30 people's names, and we all went. We just did it. That's how NA started everywhere until it started growing, and it got to where it is today, which is, like, out of hand in a lot of ways. You know, and but what happened in the beginning is when we would do it, you try to do everything. Groups tried to do everything. Groups tried to do H&I. They tried to do special. Today, how many of your groups in your area have their own special events to raise their own goddamn money? I'm sorry. It's just, it's insane. It's insane. Because we have a structure that takes care of that. We have a structure that gives us our literature. We have a structure that, we have all the structure, but we refuse to use them. We just go our own way. And it is amazing, no matter how long you're here, and no matter how many things you've been through, and no matter how much you've learned, that when the new person comes in, they still want to screw it up their way first before they'll do it the way you tell them to do it. And but see, that comes to the bottom line of who we are. We're all addicts. We're all addicts. We're just all out of control. And the thing is, it takes time to, you know, it doesn't take what it takes. I like to say it takes about 3 to 6 months to learn everything there is in NA. It takes about probably, it has to be more than 28 years because I got 28 years and I still don't know shit. So it's got to probably take about 35 or 40 years to understand why you're doing what you're doing. You know? I mean, today I like going to NA for this reason. Tomorrow I like this. But I go. I just go. I go to the meetings. You know, sometimes I go to the meeting to hear how sick everybody is because I need that because I'm starting to feel how bad I feel. All I got to do is listen to 3 or 4 of you talking. I can't possibly feel as bad as you. Doing it. So, you know what I mean? So life is okay. So we had to develop those things. We had to do something to get it out of our hands when we were in just groups. So we formed the area. We formed an area. And I can remember we formed an area in a plumbing shop. I'm a plumber. And a buddy of mine is a plumber. We had a plumbing shop that he let us use. And we got about 12 people together and said, let's start an area. That's great. Who wants to be H&I? Who wants to be PI? I mean, that's insane. It is. It's really crazy. But we're addicts, and we had a group of people that were really interested. And like Linda talked about how we did the convention, it was so funny. We actually went to the region and said, we're going to have a convention. Here's the dates. We'd like it to be the CNP Regional Convention. And they all looked and said, yeah, that's exactly what happened. And that's how we had the first convention. And what's really funny, what did we do, the sixth one or the seventh? We left the CNP area. Region, the CMP region, over these little blue books. Those of you, not many people know what I'm talking about, but that was it. At that meeting, we left the region, and we started around. But when we left, our area was doing the regional convention for CNP, and we were in a new region, and we did a CNP convention, you know. But we did it because we were committed. We had people that were committed. And she talked about in the second concept about the final responsibility and authority for NA services rests with the NA groups. And that's this. I didn't want to go through this the way she did. I wanted to go to the back. This book is so cool because it's three books in one. It's not just it tells you three different things about the concepts. And in the back of the book, I was showing Linda, and she said she wasn't even aware that it was back there. It says they give you study materials for the concepts. They have nothing to do with the concepts. What they don't. Now look, I'll give you an example. They're about the concepts, but when you hear what I'm talking about, it's what I'm telling you that. To remember, 10% of the people do 90% of the work. It says, for the first concept about fulfilling our fellowship's primary purpose, it says, does your group hold regular business meetings? That's the first question in there. I would venture to say at least, and I'm being generous, at least 50% of our fellowship doesn't do business meetings. They don't. They don't. And they send, most of them send their GSRs to go get literature, which is travesty. You know, and because the car's out now, what Linda was talking about, I have people saying, what's a car? I said, when was the last time you had a group concert? Group what? You know what I mean? I mean, and you elect somebody and send them. And it's just crazy. And it's, does your group regularly talk about how it can better fulfill its primary purpose? That comes back. Every year, it comes back from the world to the region, to the area, to your group, from the world. They ask that question every year, but groups to say, what are we going to do that for? We just have an NA meeting. You know, after paying your expenses for literature, refreshments, and meeting hall rent, does your group have enough money to conduct other services on its own? Does your group buy cakes? If your group buys cakes out of the money in the basket, don't you think you should say, we are passing the basket according to the seven tradition and according to our vote that we like to buy cakes? You know? And then it touches on the concept saying, could your group do the PI work, the PI work? Could it go out? Could your work home group do all the H&I work? Could it do the letters? No, that's why we have to have an area service committee. That's why we have to develop that, and we have to give them the job of doing that, but they have to let us know. We have to let us know because we're giving them the money to do the work, and we're giving them the right to make the decisions. And at every area service meeting, I believe it's everywhere, your GSR can raise the hand and say, we can't vote on that. I got to go back and talk to my group. When something comes up, you don't know. That's usually, and then you have to have a vote on it and see and go back. And Linda talked about well, I'll get to the group conscience thing. I hope I don't forget that thing when I get to it.
Please do. Are you going
to
correct me?
No, I wanted to talk about it. I like that. That's my favorite, too. And it talks in the third concept about delegating the service structure, the authority necessary. And that 1, 2, and 3 are the same thing. It's forming a group that's not at my home group that can actually do things and make decisions. But it's the responsibility of my group to support that. And to support that doesn't mean that you don't attend functions that your special events does. You just go. You're supposed to, here's what you're supposed to, I was told in early recovery. I don't like dances anymore. I'm old and I don't dance anyway. All the years I was gone, I went because I worked. I was in special, I would do stuff. Now I go to pay my money, which is supporting it, walk around the hall and say hello to, I'm still in NA, how you doing? And then I go home and turn the TV on. That's fine. But that's called support. That supports what support is. That's why we have anniversaries and we announce them, because you're supposed to support that. Okay? And that's what we need to do, is that we form this group to do the business end. And NA is business. And it's a business separate from what the groups do. The groups don't do the business other than try to take money out of your pockets, which is a good thing. You know, you should. Think about it. I mean, I hate to get on the soapbox of that, but I find it hard to believe that you can go anywhere and buy a cup of coffee for a dollar. So how come you're only putting a dollar in and drinking 3 cups of coffee? You know, the thing is, and support that. A long time ago, when I was at RD, they did a study and said that if every registered group in the world, listen, think of this. This is mind-boggling. Every registered group sent a dollar a week to the world, we could pay all our bills. So what does that tell you? Who's sending money, passing it on, what they're doing? Well, it's great. 10% of the people are donating, 90% of that's right. The fourth concept talks about effective leadership. Effective leadership is so important, and this goes really back to the guide to service to me. I don't know if any of you that are in service run into all the times your discussions, your problems, who's the boss, who stops doing things, how do you vote, how many, 3 yes, 3 no, what do you do? The way our fellowship runs, that we voted at group level, we voted at area level, we voted at regional level and world level, our whole business put together is run by Robert's Rules of Order. Some people not only know what it is, they know that we have nothing to do with that. If you get the guide to service and turn to the, like I said here, like in the back, the stuff you never get to, you turn to the back, it's got Robert's rules on a simple form of how it does. What are the rules that we have for our groups, for our areas, our regions and world? All the policies that we do are exceptions to Robert's rule. When we find something that fits us that's different. Otherwise, you can refer right to Robert's rules when things are getting out of hand. Okay, it's nuts. It's nuts that we don't do it because we run on such. And that really goes into the fourth concept, effective leadership. There used to be a sentence I was pointing out to her. It's in the concepts, but it used to be in the TWIGS, which was the temporary guide. It said if we would elect effective people to be GSRs, the whole fellowship would straighten out. We just won't do it. We just won't do it. And I can give you an example. I have my home group, I think we have 11 people in my home group. And every 6 months, we elect new people. And every 6 months, I'm the alternate GSR because not one GSR in the past 3.5 years has ever done their thing. And I go. I hate it. I mean, I've been doing it for a little, I got 28 years clean. I've been doing it for a while. But somebody's got to go, and I want to go. And believe me, there's a little group of her followers here today. They're all from Bay Area. They'll tell you, I am hated at Area Service. I'm hated. And you know, I try not to say anything, and I beg other people to say shit, and then I can't take it no more. I just can't take it. You know, I just celebrate. I give this. This will really tell you me. I just celebrated, and all the guys. We have a little men's meeting that we do every week. They all got shirts that had a big mustache and said, "You're an asshole" on it, and they bought me one that said, "I'm the asshole." Yeah. So just to let you know. But effective leadership, you know, it's important. What's important in the fourth concept, which is a word that a lot of us don't really talk about. If you work the steps, you do, but we know that hardly anybody does that. Humility. Humility is really what the fourth concept is about. Because we ask people to serve us, and they're supposed to be what's good for NA. Okay, that's what it's supposed to be. And so many times a person has been, like I'm giving you, I've been the GSR for so long, been the secretary at the so, it becomes theirs. You know what I mean? It's become their meeting. It becomes their, what they want. And that's not what this is about. You know, this is for what's good for the whole. And we keep telling each other that, but we just don't follow through and do it. But we need to. And, you know, and it's really, I don't know, it's almost sad that it's all written down. A, B, C, what to do, and we don't do it. I mean, that's sad when you think about it. It's all written down, how to do it. And it talks about in the fifth concept that for each responsibility assigned to the service structure, a single point of decision and accountability should be clearly defined. That means that we regularly at our group conscience meeting go over the things that we want them to do, and go over the things that are going on at Area Service. Because I was just telling another GSR just the other day. We were at Area Service, and they were asking me about something they were talking about. Because they were the new GSR. They didn't know anything about this car. They knew nothing about some of the questions that were going on. And I said, well, it's amazing. We elect and spend thousands of dollars for this guy and girl, RD and alternate, to go to the world. They go out there, and they get all this information, stats. Linda's been the RD in our area, and I've been in our region, and I've been the RD. Huh?
Chesapeake.
You were there. You were in Chesapeake. I was for this. But we bring back this much stuff. Then we go home, and this goes on some RDs, and you look through and pick out what you think is important to tell your region, which is not what you're supposed to do. And then you bring it back, and you bring back packets. And then the packets that you give all your RCMs, right? And your RCMs have a packet that they throw in the trunk of their car, and then they come back to Area Service and say, I went to our regional service meeting, we had spaghetti, and we elected a new secretary, and that's what happens. I'm touched reality. And then your GSR, then your RCM goes back to tells the GSRs, well, you know, there's stuff going on at the world. If you want to know, talk to him. You know, and it's crazy. It's crazy. The information is there and we don't get it. And the thing is, if we did four, and if we did one, two, three, if we elected people that were about service and about and having some humility, they would bring you everything and let you know the stuff. And they would take the time. And not that we haven't had good RDs and good RCM. We've had good ones. But what happens is when they're done, we have this leadership rotation thing that you got to let somebody do it. Well, who wants to do it? Oh, man, you can do it. You've been here for a while, you know, and it just doesn't work. We get the group conscience in the sixth concept. And group conscience is the most important thing in our whole fellowship, to me. And I can tell you, when I was on the World Literature Committee for 6 years. And I was on the committee when we wrote the step guide. And we had 20-something people that we met in 3 years. We met dozens of times for weekends at a time, sometimes 5 days at a time, sometimes 5 hours on a godforsaken telephone. But we went through every single word in the step guide. And what we did was we did what it talks about when you have an objection. Does anybody object to this? What's the problem? We would talk about it, and we would talk back and forth, and we would tweak a word here, and we would tweak a word there, to where, what Linda said, we would get to where voting has nothing to do with it. And it talks in the sixth concept about when we're about to make a decision. So think back at one of your votes next time, because you've never done this before, I'm sure. Think back to your next time when you're going to vote on something. Right before you vote, say, we're going to vote on this in 5 minutes. First, I want all of you to take a step back and think about what our higher power would want us to do here. And then vote what you think would be good for the program, not for you. I can't do that all the time either. We can't. You can't. But if we did that, we would be experiencing group conscience, because we would go back and say, okay, ask the person who runs my life today. Because, you know, those of you, I'm sure everybody would raise their hand and say they don't run their own life today, but there are so many of us still try too, you know. I don't, you know. I get up in the morning and read my Just for Today. And the only thing that and you know how they say don't ask for specific things? I ask for two specific things every night. I ask for Powerball and Mega Millions. I keep asking. I'm asking. I'm going to ask till the day I die. Give them to me. I'm ready. I can handle it. But let me tell you, every other thing, I ask for guidance. And you know how people say pray for your higher power's will? I'm here to tell you that's hogwash. You already know what your higher power's will is. Me, I'll tell you my prayer. Please help me to understand and accept your will, because if I don't, I'm going to do what I want to do. That's what I pray for. I pray for an understanding and some acceptance. And I say, hey, you know, work's getting rough, man. Something's got to happen. I'm praying all the time, you know. My favorite place, I haven't talked about it in a long time, my favorite place to pray is in a BP gas station's bathroom on Pennsylvania Avenue in Southeast Washington. When things go wrong, I go, and she says, you want the key? I say, yeah. And I go in, and I get down on my knees in front of the toilet, because for me, the toilet is the place that I've been on my knees most in my life, in front of the toilet. So it's comfortable. I can get right down there, and I can pray. Look, I pray next to my bed on my knees, but that's not as comfortable as next to a toilet. No, you just have to, I don't know where you grew up. I mean, what are you doing? You're a goddamn addict. Anyway, the program, I want the program to work. So like I said, I just did these in New York a few months ago, and I did them, and I've done them here before. And the thing is people just don't, I'm amazed this many people are here. I am. I wish you would go out and buy all of the concept books there so next year they bring more. You know, I got a few you can have. They're worth having. They're worth having. You should. In fact, the reason that I've done the things that I've done is because as an addict, I know everything, so I want everything. You know, I want to know everything that's going on. I want to know. So I'm a pack rat, and I've got everything. Well, sometimes when I get bored, I actually read it. You know, and when you read it, your eyes get open. When you listen to some people that you start trusting and believing in, you would see there's a lot more to this club than just going to meetings, carrying the message and the primary purpose. Now, that don't get me wrong, that's where you get the return. But, you know, I've seen a lot of meetings close. I've seen a lot of crazy things happen. I've seen a lot of people get hurt. And it's going to keep happening. You know, I don't know if any of y'all hear the news today. They got these, middle school kids are taking naked pictures of each other and selling them to each other. God, am I glad I'm an old man. I can handle the stuff that's going on today. And the thing is that, but you know what? I'm safe in here. And any one of you that doesn't, you're safe here. Anytime you're safe here. I know for an hour I'm not going to be asked if I want drugs for an hour. There are some meetings that when the meeting's over, I'll get asked, but not during the meeting. You know, and the thing is, and if you're here for a while, you'll get to the point where if you're new, probably the people you're hanging with is not the people you need to be with, because you're going to be picking assholes just like you. The people that are pulling you up, telling you the things you're doing wrong, those are the people you should get to know. And as you're here for a while, you'll develop a group of 4, 5, or 6 people that you start to trust. And what I like to say, I have inadvertently, totally, accidentally given them the right to take my inventory. I don't know how they got it, but they got it. And they are the most important people in my life. Because when they take it, I cuss them out, I get mad, I walk away, but then before I go to bed at night and I go through my 10th step, I say, damn, I'm glad Andy said that to me, you know? And I just, you know, I'm so glad of that kind of stuff. And the thing is, if you're here long enough, and if you do get involved and you make some true friends, you know, I got true friends today. And I'm going to tell you, I'm an asshole. It's hard for assholes to get friends, but you know what? Everybody in here is a damn asshole, believe me. You know, it says in our steps, at the end of the steps, it says, there are 3 things indispensable in this program. 3 things indispensable. Go home and look indispensable up. That says, when you look the definition, that without those things, you can't make it here. Not one of us, not one of us came in here with those 3 principles. So how do we make it? You know, we make it, in the beginning, you make it here out of spite. That's how you do it. Spite in the beginning. Spite. I'm going to show them. You know? And then you start learning about honesty. Who wants I should be willingness, open-mindedness, and honesty. Because we're... because I'm going to tell you, we're some lying suckers, man. And it still happens. I don't care how long you're here. You know, in the way I explain, people think they don't lie. I have a business. I call Mrs. Jones up and say, Miss Jones, I'm not going to make it to your house today because I just don't feel like coming. I don't say that. I lie. A lie's a lie. And so you know what I mean? And we learn that. Open-minded and willing. Most of us are open-minded and willing when you're doing what they want to do. See, it's really hard to go with the flow, to practice group conscience, to trust in someone else. I mean, the best example I'll give is why the thing that we do in here more than anything, get in sexual relationships, or God forbid, marriage. You know? Now, don't misunderstand. There are a lot of people here that have nice marriages, nice lives and everything, but you know what? There's no 2 people, I don't care who they are, that they have this pretty fairy tale relationship. It don't work. We're not good at relationships. Relationships don't work. Relationships are work. And if you want to be in a relationship, you have to learn how to say you're sorry when you're not, do the things that you don't want to do, go all, you know what I mean? Just compromise. And when you do those things, that doesn't mean a relationship works. That just means you got a chance. It just means you got a chance. And every day you got to do it over again and over again and over again. And that, of course, we do it because of the payoff. But see, we're addicts. Our payoff is instantaneous. When it's gone, we're not want to do it again. So that's an insane thing. It's insane. And look, I'm part of the insanity. I'm married twice in this godforsaken program. And, you know, I got married the last time through a whole bunch of people telling me, please don't do this. You know, they told me that, really. And, you know, so, and the thing is like, I'm old. See, I think I'm old. I'm old. I love my wife. We don't live together. I love her. I'm not so sure it's bad that we don't live together, but, you know, we don't. But I love her, and the door's open, and I'm nice. I try to be nice. I'm not about being vindictive and, you know, like the things that we do as addicts. I'm not about that anymore, right? And I'm married till I'm not married anymore. That's because I'm from the old school. Right. Nowadays, kids get married like we went steady. Let's try this. If it don't work, we'll just get rid of you. And they're doing it all the time. And I'm sad to say I've done it 3 times, you know. And the thing is that, but the program is safe. The program is safe. This last time when my wife and I split, well, we didn't split. My wife just got up one morning and said, I'm leaving, right? And I said, okay, make it easy. And you know what I did? I go to meetings every day. I just go to meetings. Because I'm going to meetings, I'm around people that I trust, you know, people that support me. And, you know, and just get what I need. And then what I'm at now is once a week, one day a week, I give it to her. I take her to dinner or do something. And when she says, why don't you spend the night here? I said, no, but you can come down and spend the night at our house if you want. and I leave. You know, because I gotta have my things too. And I use the program for that. I talk to people in the program. That's what it's about. It's about having learning what this stuff is and knowing that these people have my best interest at heart. My network does. I know that. Now, everybody in here don't have your best interest at heart. But the people in my network does. It took me a long time to get that network. So for a long time, I was a screw-up. Do you know I have not cussed once? I didn't say that. I know if I say one, it's gone. No, that's not a cuss word. I am an asshole. I didn't say fuck. That was for you. Anyway, the concepts are really important. You should go to the next, the 7 to 12. The reason you should go is because they're really good concepts, but go and see how boring they are after you've had Linda and I, you know? Thanks for letting me share.